about a ghost from a wishing well, in a castle dark or a fortress strong, with chains upon my feet. You know that ghost is me, and I will never be set free as long as I'm a ghost you can't see.
Ooh, every time I hear that line, it sends little chills down my spine. Good morning.
To talk with Art Bell in the Kingdom of Nye from outside the U.S., first, dial your access number to the USA, then 800-893-0903. If you're a first-time caller, call Art at 702-727-1222. From east of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, including Montana, Wyoming, Colorado, and New Mexico, call Art at 1-800-618-8255. Or call Art on the Wildcard Line at area code 702-727-1295. This is Coast to Coast AM from the Kingdom of Nye.
That it is. Good morning, everybody. That line really does send a little chill down my spine. The Bajan Radio. As a matter of fact, Hal Lindsey's coming up in a moment. And impress you, then you cannot be impressed. Who is Hal Lindsey? Many of you, most of you probably know him. Some may not. He is recognized as the most respected prophecy teacher in the world and author of 16 best-selling books, including The Late Great Planet Earth, Blood Moon, Apocalypse Code, The Final Battle, and Amazing Grace. Mr. Lindsey named the best-selling author of the decade by the New York Times. That's pretty non-trivial. Was born in Houston, Texas. His first book, The Late Great Planet Earth, listen to this now, was published in 1970, was the best-selling religious book of all time, selling more than 28 million copies, with total sales exceeded only by the Bible itself. Wow. Mr. Lindsey is one of the few authors ever to have three books on the New York Times bestseller list at the same time. That's amazing. After his education at the University of Houston, Mr. Lindsey served in the U.S. Coast Guard during the Korean War, graduated from the Dallas Theological Seminary, where he majored in the New Testament and early Greek literature. After completing seminary, Mr. Lindsey served for 8 years on the staff of Campus Crusade for Christ, speaking to tens of thousands of students on major university campuses throughout the U.S. He's been on gazillions of different shows. As a matter of fact, I think he's been on, TBN's PTL, Talk America, Arts and Entertainment Channel, Discovery Channel, on and on and on. Here is Hal Lindsey. Hal, hi.
Hi.
Welcome to the program. Sure nice to have you.
Oh, I've been looking forward to this. I've listened to you frequently and enjoy your show.
Well, that,
enjoy your
that
style.
In itself is interesting, because there are many out there who would have me stoned. And I mean put up against the wall and stoned.
Well, I enjoy it. We need people like you on the radio.
There must be a reason, huh?
Absolutely.
Before we get off into anything else, I have been of late following Jerry Falwell rather closely. Now, he's an interesting fellow, this televangelist, and he said not long ago, just about a week ago or two, that the Antichrist was alive on earth now and probably was a Jewish man, but here now, alive on earth, and that Jesus would be back, he said, in about 10 years, within 10 years. And he turned around and just now apologized to the Jewish community for saying that. But then tonight on Reuters News, the fourth item is Falwell calls Teletubby gay. Reverend Jerry Falwell is trying to out Tinky Winky, suggesting that the character on television's popular Teletubbies is gay. And he goes into reasons why he thinks that, has the voice of a boy, but carries a purse, he's purple, the gay pride color, and on and on and on. And I'm wondering what's going on with Jerry Falwell, and you must at least hear these things, and I wonder if you have any thoughts at all.
Well, I know Jerry Falwell to be a good and a decent man, and I'm surprised that lately he's only opening his mouth to change feet.
Mm-hmm.
Usually he's much wiser. I think that it was very unwise, even if he believes it, to say the Antichrist is Jewish. I don't think there's not enough in the scripture to even be able to make that kind of statement authoritatively. And given the persecution Jews have experienced, they would interpret that as anti-Semitism
or an
attempt to really bring it down on them.
Sure, oh sure.
And so he knew or should have known that would cause a firestorm. And, you know, given the power of the gay lobby these days, you've got to be very careful what you say. So,
let's stop right there.
Yeah.
And what do you say about the gays?
Very little.
Very little. Really. I have, I'm pretty much of a layman.
I believe God loves them.
Okay. Yeah, I'm pretty much of a layman, so you're going to have to put up with me that way, but I'm also pretty much of a libertarian, and I guess my political view is that what people do, good or bad, in the privacy of their own home is their own business, and if they get sicker, something comes of it, well, it's their own doing, and they know what they're doing, but it's none of my business unless it affects me.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, it is. But I would imagine your view would extend somewhat beyond that.
Yes, I would say this, that I start getting riled up and concerned when they start trying to determine what other people want to do about it. I mean, if they keep it to themselves there at home, then, I don't think God called me to go after gays. But I think if they start getting in the legislature and trying to force their will on other people,
mm-hmm.
then just like any other strong lobby group, I'd be opposed to it.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about our God? I just plunge right in here. In other words, a lot of preachers seem to suggest that God is a vengeful thing, a vengeful entity who will cause us to burn in hell and damnation and fire and all the rest of it if we don't obey the top 10 and more. And I just have never been able to work myself into thinking of God in that way, as a vengeful entity.
No, I certainly don't think of him that way.
No?
I was a tugboat captain in New Orleans.
Really?
Yeah, when I came to know, I came to receive Jesus Christ. I was raised, Art, with no religion at all. I had none. My home, where I grew up, they just had no religion. And so I lived my life, went through the service. After I got out of the Coast Guard, I became a tugboat captain in New Orleans. And I did just about everything I thought would be fun, and it was fun. But I came to a point where I said, what do you do for an encore? So I started looking for something that made sense of life. And I had a Gideon's New Testament someone had given me when I was 12 years old. I'd never read it. I carried it because I thought it was like a rabbit's foot, a good luck charm.
Hmm.
But I started reading it, and when I came to the third chapter of the Gospel of John, that's when I sort of laughed out loud. I was by myself on board the tugboat, and I got out of it that I was born wrong, and I always believed that anyway. And
That you were born wrong?
Yeah. I mean, I felt that I was a bad seed.
Oh.
Not for any religious reason, but...
I was pretty much of a bad seed, too.
And as I read about that, it for the first time made sense, and that's when I asked Jesus Christ to come into my life.
And
that
poof.
Was a turning point in my life. I didn't have some, flashing lights or anything like that, but there was a sense of peace that came over me. But it took God a year to get me spiritually housebroken enough to even go into a church. But I did read the Bible. And I was all confused about, I heard so many say this one's right, that one's right. So I didn't know which church to go to.
So your conversion was not instant?
Well, it was a point of time, but the development of it certainly wasn't instant. And... the thing that happened to me was that I read the Bible every day simply because I wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
And that began to have an effect on me without me even noticing it. And so eventually I wound up in Houston, Texas, which was my home. And I studied under a man named Bob Thiem, who was a Rhodes Scholar. And that's where I first heard about Bible prophecy. And that was when I came to the conviction that these things were so amazing that they had been predicted hundreds of years ago, and you could see in history where they'd literally been fulfilled to the letter. That convinced me that the Bible was accurate and that it's trustworthy. So, anyway, that's kind of my story. Didn't mean to get into that.
No, that's quite all right. I'm sort of curious. When you wrote, it says it was your first book, The Late Great Planet Earth. That
right.
was number one, huh?
Yes, I was 40 years old.
What is the idea of the late great planet Earth? That indicates it's all over, sort of.
Well, the title is not, it doesn't tell the whole story of the book. But, you know, my latest book, Planet Earth, the Final Chapter, kind of extends on that.
That, too, sounds kind of like it's all over, the final
yeah.
chapter.
But I don't believe that we're headed for the end of the world. I believe we're headed for a great crisis.
Oh, yes.
Which will lead us into a new age. But I believe that it's not the end. I believe it's going to be a period unparalleled in human history, though.
I wrote a book,
mm-hmm.
which you may be aware of, called The Quickening.
Yes,
In it, I made very layman-like observations, talk show host observations, that everything, socially, economically, politically, every aspect of human life appears to be speeding up, that events seem to be speeding up exponentially, and that we are racing toward something. Now,
yes, I'm familiar with your book,
okay,
and I thought it was fascinating that you observed it, especially from the standpoint you came.
Yes, and I don't know what it's heading for. I don't have the same faith that you do, Hal.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I did, because I'm sure it's extremely comforting, but I don't. All I have is a layman's feeling, talk show guy's feeling, that something is coming, a big change is coming. I, too, have said, I don't think it's the end of the world, because the world is not going to end. But we are making it a very difficult place to remain for human beings, and it's possible that we could be evicted, I suppose.
Well, you know, I thought it was fascinating that you noticed that things were speeding up. In the late great planet Earth, and as I more greatly elaborate in the Planet Earth, the Final Chapter, which is my latest book,
mm-hmm.
I show that there's an exact scenario of events that were predicted that would all come together in what prophecy calls the last days. And it doesn't mean the last days for the end of the world, but the last days before Jesus Christ comes back to the earth. And I call it the birth pang effect, because Jesus gave many prophecies of things that would occur in the world, and then he said they would be like birth pangs. Now, when a woman is about to have a baby,
it's the quickening.
You get the birth pangs in the abdomen that increase in frequency and intensity. And the things he said that would all come together in concert with each other, in other words, if they were not all coming up in the same time frame, that wouldn't be significant. But he said that there would be religious deception,
mm-hmm.
there would be wars and rumors of wars. That's his way of saying hot wars and cold wars.
Mm-hmm.
He said there would be ethnic group rising against ethnic group, nation against nation. And then he said there will be great earthquakes in various places.
Mm-hmm.
He said there will be famine, there will be plagues, there will be global weather pattern changes with superstorms. Now, if you look at what's happening right now, even Hollywood is cashing in on this, because some of the most successful box office attractions are the disaster movies.
I know.
And they're keying in on this. But, you know, I've got statistics in my latest book, Planet Earth, the Final Chapter. I've got statistics which absolutely show and prove that each one of these things he predicted is increasing in frequency and intensity. in a level unparalleled.
I just had a story indicating this last month was the worst month in all recorded history for tornadoes. Very, very violent weather.
Right.
I could go through a list a mile long of things with the environment that are going wrong. Coral reefs are dying off. The Antarctic is breaking off chunks and melting.
Mm-hmm.
Geese are flying north instead of south. Whales are not where they ought to be. Everything is upside down and wrong mm-hmm. right now. And it's headed towards something.
It is. And you know, there's another aspect of this scenario, Art. When, you know, the key sign that these Hebrew prophets predicted would come would be the miraculous return of the Jewish people from a worldwide dispersion, and that they would become a nation again, they'd be reborn as a nation, they would begin to flourish in spite of the nations around them trying to destroy them. Well, if you look at the nations around them, they're all Muslim, they're all trying to destroy them.
Sure.
And it said they would gain control of Old Jerusalem, and that would be another big sign.
What do you think is going to happen when Yasser Arafat, in March, I believe, declares a sovereign state and declares Jerusalem to be that sovereign state's capital? What do you think will happen then?
Well, apart from some kind of intervention, I think all hell's going to break loose.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, there's a reason he picked May. He said May 15th.
Is it May 15th?
Yeah.
I knew it was coming up.
He picked May 15th, and that's when Israel declared themselves to be a state. It was May 15th, 1948.
Mm-hmm.
So he's trying to play the Trump card. But the problem is this. That's a 4,000-year-old blood feud that exists between these two peoples. And all the whiz-bang diplomacy from the West, without understanding the real dynamic behind it, is never going to settle that problem. I mean, you've got the blood feud, you've got the ethnic, which is caused by the ethnic trouble, and then you've got the religious problem. Islam believes that Israel is a Western plant of a cancer in the middle of what they think of as their world.
I know.
And we're in possession of one of their holiest places on earth.
So it's inevitable.
Yeah, it's just locked on, and this is exactly what the Hebrew prophets predicted would happen. In fact, the prophet Zechariah, who wrote 500 years before Christ, predicted that Jerusalem would be the trigger that sets off the greatest war in history.
Apocalypse. All right, Hal, hold on. Stay right there. We will be right back. Not much changes, huh? Anybody see the movie Seventh Sign with Demi Moore? If not, you ought to go out and rent it. That's The Seventh Sign, Demi Moore. Anyway, Hal Lindsey is my guest, and we will be right back.
Kingdom of Nye, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. From east of the Rockies, call Art at 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, including Montana, Wyoming, Colorado, and New Mexico, at 1-800-618-8255. First-time callers may reach Art at area code 702-727-1222. And you may fax Art at area code 702-727-8499. Please limit your faxes to one or two pages. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. Now again, here's Art.
And so you don't think these are the last days, huh? Well, you remember the caller last hour that was talking about the chain link fence? Here it is. They sent me the story. It's from a Toronto newspaper, the Toronto Sun, very well respected. And the headline is, Cops Foil Odd Sex Offense. That's sex offense. And I'm sorry, but it all does seem to be true. The police were quoted as saying when they arrived, he had a look of pleasure on his face. And he was... I'm sorry, this is true. Hal Lindsey is my guest, and boy, did I just get a scathing fax. We'll ask Hal about that in a moment. I think it's going to be an interesting night. Stay right where you are. The police say that this man suffered hypothermia due to sub-zero temperatures at the time. So what he wanted, he must have wanted very, very badly. What do you say, Hal? Sign of the end of times? It's a sign of something.
Sign of idiocy.
Yeah.
Growing, that's for sure.
We have a little thing called Darwin Awards. And those people who take themselves out of the gene pool in the most unique ways. Anyway, listen, I got a fax here. This is not a nice fax. It says, Art, I can't believe you. Having Hal Lindsey on your show is like having an interview with a vampire. He is, now listen to this, he is a neo-Zionist, Catholic-hating, Muslim-baiting, genocidal freak. Otherwise, Hal, you're all right. Remember the old films of Hitler and how he stirred crowds to a froth?
Yeah.
Well, it looks a lot like Houston, his hometown, born-again revival. Same message, hate. Only now the devil has a different name, non-believers, a.k.a. Catholics, Muslims, Hindus, and other heathens. What say you, Hal?
Well, I'd have to really step up to the plate to live up to all of that. But I don't remember ever saying we should go out and kill anybody.
On the other hand, people are killing each other at nearly an unprecedented rate because of their religious belief. Now, I often want to ask...
Oh, that's the most volatile force in the world.
Yeah, it is. And so many people are killed over it. Now, God can't be real happy about that.
No, I'm sure that he's not. But he did predict that, or his prophets predicted that... there would come a time of great instability and lawlessness, and that a lot of this would be caused by religion. You look at history, some of the greatest crimes in history have been motivated by religion.
By religion.
That's why, frankly, Christianity is not a religion.
It's not a religion.
No, it's a personal relationship to God through Jesus Christ, and it's not based on a system of... a system of works and all kinds of ritual. It's more of a dynamic, living, personal relationship to God.
Well, what about those who would express the view that Muslims, that Catholics, that people of all kinds of faiths are really recognizing the same thing, and that is the existence of a creator. Can only the Christians be right? Can only the Bible be correct?
Well,
these are the kind of questions, by the way, that got me thrown out of Sunday school. So
yeah, well, that's not a bad question. You know, who wouldn't ask that? You know, the only thing I can say is that God, if he was going to take the trouble to communicate with man, he would give us some sort of a secure way of knowing that it was from him.
Mm-hmm.
And if, as the Bible claims, God stepped out of eternity into time and became a man in the person of Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
so that he could then bear the wrath of his own justice against man and take it in our place. Such a terrible deed as that. I mean, I would think that he would want to make it known, and first of all, and secondly, that if he would go to such an extreme measure in order to rescue man, then there must be something very terrible that he sees that we need to be rescued from.
From, yes.
And And I believe that if this is all true, and I believe it to be true, then there can't be many ways to God, because it's not based on good deeds or feelings or anything else. God says, and I say God, this is what the Bible says, and I believe it is from God. God says that man will never be acceptable to him on the basis of his good deeds, no matter how sincere he is, but only on the basis of the provision of pardon that he himself purchased for us by his own death.
But that leaves so many people out who don't believe that. I mean, even the majority of the world's population, it leaves them out.
Well, it doesn't leave them out if it's offered to them as a free gift. And the Bible does say that if a man sincerely wants to know God and seeks to find him, that he will find him.
But people claim to have found the same good path in the Quran.
Mm-hmm. I know, and there are many other religions who claim the same thing. And I'm not saying, look, I'm this guy that's found the right way, and my way is the only way, because my ego's involved. I'm saying that
You believe that because you think it's the truth.
Yeah, because of what is said there. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to God except through me. And if I believe that, and I do, then you have to realize he's the one who made the way possible at great cost. So the way is open to everyone, and God says if anyone really wants to know him, they will find him. He will see to it.
Mike in Houston would like to know the follow-up question of you, and that is, do you believe it possible that the Antichrist may be alive and on the planet today?
Well, judging by the scenario that I've been talking about since the late great Planet Earth came out, judging by that scenario and how it has rapidly developed in recent times, I believe he'd have to be alive, because the Antichrist has to at least be, what, I'd say somewhere around 40 years old at the very least.
Mm-hmm.
And since I believe all of this is coming, we're in the general time of it, I'd believe he'd have to be alive.
Wow.
But, you know, there's a great deal said about this personality in the prophets. There's almost a prophetic biography of him. And certain factors we do know.
Okay, what would those be?
Well, first of all, he has to be acceptable to Europeans as a ruler.
Mm-hmm.
And he will come to Rome, and he will rule out of Rome. He will put together 10 of the strongest nations that are descended from the Roman culture and people. And he will put together 10 of these nations as his initial political power base.
Mm-hmm.
So I would expect that he would be somewhere in Europe, that he would be a European, and that he would be alive. I don't think he himself knows who he is yet.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's something that will be kind of a mystical experience that he will have when the time comes.
Somebody I interview frequently when he's not ill, he's ill now, though recovering, is Father Malachi Martin. You know that name?
Oh, I like him very much.
Hey, Father Martin?
Yeah, we know each other personally, and I've been on the talking circuit with him many times.
Sure.
The Gary Rose show, we were on that together. We were Merv Griffin show, things
mm-hmm.
like that. So I've met him, and I have a great respect for him.
You know what he said? He said that he is aware that there is satanic worship going on in Rome, in the Vatican.
Mm-hmm.
And I have been getting...
Well, I'll tell you.
I've been getting a lot of other literature which has been saying exactly the same thing. Now, that's horrendously shocking to hear.
Yes.
Do you believe that may be true?
It may be true, and I'll tell you, if anybody would know, he would. He's a Jesuit priest, and he is an active Catholic. So if anybody would know that, I would say he would. And he wouldn't be the type who would... just say something to be sensational.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no, not at all. So God is as real as it is written in the Bible. He was here. Jesus walked upon the earth. All of that is true. if there is a God, then there is an opposite force as well, is there not?
I believe that to be true. You know, you mentioned the seven star, what it was, the seven signs?
The seven sign, it was called, a movie.
Seven sign, yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It was very interesting because that whole series started as a result of one of my books called Satan's Alive and Well on Planet Earth. That was my second book that I wrote back way back there in the 70s.
And you think that inspired this?
Well, The Omen was the first picture, and I met with the Hollywood people about that, and they'd gotten the idea from my book. And when I saw what they were going to do with it, I refused to be part of it or put my name on it because, you know, if they would have followed what the prophet said, it would have been a lot scarier and a lot more interesting.
How would The Omen have been different had you been the technical advisor with a free hand?
Well, that's a good question. I don't think I've ever been asked that. Well, first of all, I would have made it something, I would have made it couched in the right time frame. When this takes place, the man who is born is not going to know he's some sort of an evil seed, or neither will it be manifested as when he's born as a child. Mm-hmm. I would have started with this man receiving a mortal wound and being pronounced dead, and then miraculously being raised back to life, because that's what is predicted. And it's when this man is raised back to life, according to the prophets, he will be taken over, possessed by Satan. But, you see, there's something very important to note here. According to what the prophets say about this, he will not appear to be evil. This is going to appear to be the best man that's ever lived. He's going
maybe
to be the
maybe
most dynamic, the greatest leader.
Maybe it's Daniel Brinkley. It's going to be on tomorrow night, by the way.
You know one thing. I won't touch that one. I do know this, though. No one really knows who this man is, and they won't know who he is until he's revealed with this mortal wound.
When will he know who he is?
I believe it's when he's brought back to life from this wound. I believe that's when he will begin to grasp. And he's not going to see himself as evil. He's going to see himself as the Savior of the world.
And he will
and
be...
he will have supernatural power.
And he will be embraced, won't he, in that manner, as
oh,
Savior
absolutely.
Of the world.
He will be embraced as the one who has brought the world back to real sanity. He will have great powers of clairvoyance. Mm-hmm. He will be a tremendous speaker. Several times the prophets say that he will speak with mighty words and a great voice. And, you know, it talks about him mesmerizing people.
As they
so
talk,
Hitler
as
was
they
sort
talk
of
to
a
Hitler.
Precursor.
Yep, Hitler. He also, it will be a gigantic total deception, won't it?
Yes.
So is it not likely, Hal, that this person will come with the banner of God in front of him? I mean, it could be.
Oh, yeah. He'll be part of a religion.
Yes. So it will be a religious, appearing to be a very religious spokesperson, somebody even like yourself.
Well, certainly he will, you know, he'll be articulate. He'll be religious.
That's you so far.
And he will be a person that will have extraordinary powers, and he will have such extraordinary powers that he will be able to put together he will solve the Middle East crisis. He will negotiate a peace between them. And he will also negotiate peace with all of the various wars that are going on, so he'll be seen as a man of peace. And he will actually bring some extraordinary reform that is a good thing. And it's in this way that he gets Muslims, Hindus, Buddhists, everybody else to go into a one-world religion, which he will hit. So
and that would, in many ways, I mean, if you consider it now, that sounds like a pretty good thing since we all kill each other because of our different belief systems.
Mm-hmm.
So that sounds like a pretty good deal, but I guess it's not, huh?
Well, the problem is that he will eventually declare himself to be God.
Oh.
And this is when, in order to make people really make a statement as to who they're going to follow, this is when, you may have heard about this, it's when he causes the whole world to receive the number of his name, which is 666.
Of course.
As people, if people swear allegiance to him, then that will be added as a prefix to their personal number, and that means they can buy, sell, and hold a job. If they don't, they can't buy, sell, or hold a job.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a way he will have. It'll be... actually, he's going to assume the greatest part of his power through economics.
Well, we are racing toward that consolidation at the speed of light, nearly.
Yeah, this is why, you know, my co-host and partner, Cliff Ford, has just written a great book on this called Blood, Greed, and Money. And this is a book that really, in simple terms, shows how money is being used to bring about the conditions for this person to come on the scene and assume control of it, and through that, bring a hegemony over the whole world for a short time.
Let me, for a second, digress to somebody I'm going to have on next week, now a very good friend of mine. Gordon Michael Scallion is a lay prophet. And there are many in Gordon's category, few at his level, but... there are many lay prophets that are beginning to sound an awful lot like the people who talk about biblical prophecy. I see so many parallels in what they say, and Native Americans say, and remote viewers say, and though they all are coming at this from some different perspective, they are roughly arriving at the same place in terms of what lay, may lie directly ahead.
Yeah, and I'm very aware of the various prophets, and starting with Nostradamus, who was quite a student of the Bible.
Of course.
And there are a lot of secular prophets today, but none of them can compare with the prophets of the Bible because they're 100% accurate. In fact, a biblical prophet, if he made one false prophecy,
would be false.
Would become a rock pile.
Rockwell.
They'd stone him to death.
Yep.
That's why what survived we know to be true, because it was proven in history. They would first make short-term prophecies as their credentials, and then they would have long-term prophecies, that some of which have not been fulfilled yet.
Then what do you say about a prophet that is hitting in the high 80s, I mean, with regard to earthquakes and earth changes and that sort of thing? A very accurate but not completely accurate prophet of...
If he claims to be speaking from God, I'd call him a false prophet.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is the...
Well, they rarely say that.
That is the test.
Gordon or anybody else, I don't think they say that. They say that they view God in a very different sort of way than you do, Hal.
Well, I'm sure they do. And, you know, I'm aware of the fact that the New Age has prophets.
There you are.
And I've studied... many of them, and I see many parallels between what the Bible is saying and what they're saying.
So what are they getting? Are they getting little...
Well, I think it's if you can't beat them, join them.
Well, are they getting sort of little hints of a reality that they haven't fully grasped? But
this could quite well be true. They may...
Then do they deserve to be listened to?
Well... as long as they are following along with what it says, I would say yes. But, you know, why go to someone with an 80% accuracy when you can go to someone with 100% accuracy? I don't claim to be a prophet.
Right.
I am an interpreter of prophets that have proven themselves to be 100% accurate in history. And I am simply, you know, laying out what they normally and literally say.
So,
and I'm not the only one, by the way. If I were the only one that sees the this scenario in the Bible, well, then I would say, you know, hey, I'm just one of the guys out there crying in the wilderness. But there are people who see what I'm seeing since, in my studies, 300-400 years ago. They were seeing exactly the same things I'm seeing.
Everybody always wants to know about timelines, how close we're getting. And we're going to take a break here. And when we come back, Hal, I'd like to ask you, press you, and see if you can talk to us about what's coming and then also when, or approximately when. No man shall know, but we all guess a lot. We'll be right back.
Talk with Art Bell in the Kingdom of Nye. From east of the Rockies, dial 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, including Montana, Wyoming, Colorado, and New Mexico, 1-800-618-8255. First-time callers may reach Art at area code 702-727-1222. And you may call Art on the wildcard line at area code 702-727-1295. To reach Art from outside the U.S., first dial your access number to the USA, then 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM from the Kingdom of Nye with Art Bell.
That's exactly what it is. My guest is Hal Lindsey, and he'll be right back. A lot of you have been waiting a long time for Hal Lindsey, so this is that night to the most respected prophecy teacher in the world, Hal Lindsey, author of 16 best-selling books. With very interesting titles. The Late Great Planet Earth, Blood Moon, Apocalypse Code, The Final Battle, Amazing Grace. And, of course, his new book. So let's talk a little bit about Bible prophecy. Actually, Bible prophecy. Let's really get down to it. Is there any way, Hal, that you can estimate where we are in biblical prophecy and then project from that what may be ahead and how soon it may be ahead, or is there simply no way to know?
Well, I have a general way of looking at it. When Jesus predicted, you know, his scenario and said that these would be like birth pangs, quickening together, increasing in frequency and intensity, he stepped back and he applied it. He said, now learn the parable of the fig tree. When its limb first becomes tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the point he was making is that you can know the general time of summer is near when the first leaves on the fig tree appear.
Of course.
So then he makes the analogy. He said, even so, when you see all these things, referring to the signs he'd given, recognize I'm at the door. And then he gives a kind of a general time frame. He says, truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things are fulfilled. In other words, the generation that would see the signs
would see the end.
Would see the end. And he says it in a very special way. It's not the normal way of using the generation. He says that generation literally would not die until all of these things have been fulfilled.
So it'll unfold in a lifetime.
Right. So I believe that prophecy began to be relevant as far as all of these things about the last days is concerned.
Right.
When Israel became a nation again in 1948. Mm-hmm. So I believe myself that that's when things started and that people who saw that will still be alive when it all ends.
That wouldn't leave a lot of time, actually.
Well, I think we're running out of time right now. Now, I'm not one of these guys who thinks there's something magical about the year 2000. I don't. I don't think that we know exactly when the year 2000 is going to be here. I think we know the general time when it's going to be here, but I don't think that's the time anyway. What I'm looking at is an exact scenario of events that's all coming together before our very eyes, and that tells me that we're near.
And what are those events?
Well, those things outlined before, the fact that Israel has become a nation again. They're in possession of old Jerusalem. He said there'd be four spheres of political power that would be jockeying for position and power. One would be to the uttermost north of this reborn state of Israel. There's only one nation there, that's Russia.
That's right.
From the far east, he said the kings of the east would come into the war that starts in the Middle East. And I believe China is one of those powers. The others will, some of the other Asian powers will apparently unite with them, because it says 200 million soldiers will come from that power into this war. And China has boasted they can field that kind of an army by themselves. The other power is the nations that are round about Israel. They're called the kings of the south, and that would be the Muslim group. And then in the west, there's more prophecy about the west than any other. It says that there will be this revival of the ancient Roman culture and people into what the prophets look at as the Roman Empire Phase 2.
New Babylon.
Right.
Yes.
And that they will be ruled out of Rome, and through the genius of this Antichrist, they will eventually take over all the rest for a short while.
Mm-hmm. How old are you, Hal?
I'm 69.
69. I was born in 1945. So even though I was just doing, I wasn't saying very much except mama and dada and whatever, in 48.
You were alive.
I was alive.
I was 18.
You were 18. So how much more time can there really be? Not much.
Not a whole lot. I wouldn't put a year on it because, you know, one thing in that same context where Jesus made this, he commanded us to know the generation.
You wouldn't put a year on it, you said?
No. He commanded us to know the general time, the generation. But right after that, he said, but of the day and hour, no one knows.
Right, no one knows.
So that would be a specific time. But he does command us to know the general time.
But a year on it's not much.
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe... I'm reading faxes now. We'll eventually get phone calls here.
Sure.
But it says, would you please ask Hal if he believes in the rapture scenario? Now, I...
Yes.
You do. You know, I said to my audience, half jokingly, you know, with a nervous little laugh, what if you woke up one day and every Christian you knew was suddenly gone? I mean, just flat gone from the face of the earth. What would you conclude? That stops people cold.
It does. I don't call it the rapture. You know, in the passage that promises this, the Greek word that's used is harpazo, which was a word for pickpockets.
Mm-hmm.
It says that, you know, Jesus is going to descend in the clouds above the earth. He's not going to come to the earth. And he is going to snatch up every living believer in himself and take them out before the unfolding of the final 7 years of countdown before the earth is nearly destroyed by
as
Holocaust.
As in depicted in the seventh sign. By the way, somebody wrote to me and said, interesting you should mention, I just watched the seventh sign again.
And, well, that was so far afield from what the Bible
says. Well, it was. It went into, and this person asks, I wonder if the guff is empty. Now, in the seventh sign, there was referred to the guff, or the place from which souls come. And I believe that the storyline was that the guff essentially was empty, and that only a sacrifice of, you know, as depicted in that movie, of the mother for her child, could return the guff to a supply of souls. Now, this is kind of a loose fit, but yesterday, for example, we had a story that three young girls, 11, 12, and 14, joined hands and jumped out of a 15th-story window in Moscow and just committed suicide for no apparent reason whatsoever. Now, we have children in this country that are killing children. We have children that have no respect for life, their own or anybody else's. We have a very unusual generation. And I'm not saying it's all negative, but we do have a lot of what would almost seem to be soulless children out there. And so I come back then to the that movie and the concept of the guff. Anything there?
Well, I think it's so far from what the Bible teaches, I wouldn't even get into it.
Okay.
But I would say this, that we do live in a generation where the young people increasingly have a sense of emptiness and hopelessness. And one of the leading causes of death among the teenagers, and that's true in America too, is suicide.
That's right.
Because they have no hope.
That's right. I interviewed, for example, the Hopi elders.
Mm-hmm.
Hopi elders. And
I bet that was fascinating.
Lakota, the chief of the Lakota, I interviewed. And they both said the same thing. They said, you know, there is so much corruption and greed that it is all about to end. That is their belief, native belief. And they would never in a million years come on radio programs or media programs of any kind, except that they are saying now that they believe the time is so near that they have absolutely no choice but to come forward. And the suicide rate among their children is higher than any in the nation.
Yeah. They have no real opportunity or purpose or hope.
That's correct.
I'm part Chiricahua Apache.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I'm Scott, Dutch, French, and Chiricahua.
But there is yet another one. In other words, everybody seems to be sensing the same thing. Now, they may say it differently than you might, or that a true believer might, but everybody seems to be sensing about the same thing.
Well, I think that that in itself is a sign.
So do I.
I really do. I mean, I don't discount the fact that these people are seeing this. I think all around the world, people are coming, they're looking at the same developing phenomena that you and I are, and they find various means of seeing that this must be headed towards some catastrophic climax. There's sort of a subliminal sense of impending doom. You know, that's why I wrote Planet Earth, the final chapter, because what I did was really put together in chronological order all of these prophecies and how in the timeline of things they will be fulfilled. And that's why I think it's one of the best things God's ever given me. And it's certainly the best writing I've ever done. And I'm thrilled that it's out in all the bookstores now, even Barnes & Noble, all over the place.
Sure.
And Amazon.com. It's all over the place. You know, one of the things that I've heard you mention several times, the Y2K problem.
Oh, yes.
I agree. None of us know whether it's going to be an awful catastrophe or just sort of a disruption for a little while. We don't know. But that's why my partner and I, Cliff Ford, we wrote a book called Facing Millennial Midnight that's just coming out next week.
Really?
And what we did was we did more research on this than anything we've ever done.
Well, if you did that, then you must know.
Oh, yeah.
That I was talking about it last hour. I've got all these stories. CNN ran a survey. ZDNet ran a survey. All these surveys are coming out now indicating that just half or under half of the people plan to withdraw at least half of what they've got in the bank. Now, if only a tiny fraction of that actually occurred, whether one computer went belly up or not, our banks couldn't begin to fulfill.
Oh, absolutely.
They couldn't even begin to fulfill the request for cash.
It's my understanding that, and I'm no, that my field is not economics.
Nor am I.
Cliff Ward's field is that. But we, in our studies, we saw that, generally speaking, when a bank takes a deposit of $100, there's immediately an electronic message sent to the central banks, which then wires back the authority for them to loan $500, because for every $100 on deposit, they can loan $500.
Right.
Now, that means 20 cents on the dollar is there. So if people start running on the banks and withdrawing their money, if there's not a thing that happens on January 1st, we're going to have problems. Because itself will break the banks.
Exactly. So then prophecy may unfold. It may be self-fulfilling, or it may seem to be self-fulfilling, but it may nevertheless unfold by our own hand.
Well, what I see in this, I mean, if there is a great disruption, I see a kind of a period of chaos that would be just perfect for the time the Antichrist arrives.
To pull our fat out of the fire?
That's it. You know, just look at when great dictators have come on the scene. It's always been in a time of great chaos and great danger and suffering.
And
Germany in the 20s. Look at Russia right now. Russia is absolutely where Germany was in the 20s.
And we now have this wonderfully new, stable European Union financially, which, by the way, just happens to be the location where you think the Antichrist may come from.
Yes.
Right?
They're going to be the powerhouse. See, the United States, as far as I see in prophecy, the United States has to fade from power. We've been the leader of the West and sometimes the world since World War II.
That's right.
But according to prophecy, we're not going to be the leaders. It's very elaborate in its prediction of the leader of the West, and that's going to be this 10-nation consortium that'll come out of Europe and be ruled out of Rome. So I believe the coming together of this euro dollar in January 1st was the last chain to bind them together into a union. You know, in the 70s, I was called a false prophet, because I said the Bible says that Europe's going to unite. And I had a Catholic, I think it was a cardinal, that he was in Italy. He wrote a book against me and said I was a false prophet.
Mm.
And the main reason is because he said Europe will never unite.
Have you, you've done a lot of world travel, of course.
Yes.
Been to communist China?
I have not been in the interior.
No?
I've been on the edge of it.
Uh-huh. I did have a chance to go in to Shenzhen, the economic province, and then on up into China. And it was the scariest thing I ever saw in my whole life, Hal.
I bet it was.
You've never seen anything like it. It's beyond your wildest imagination. The amount of commerce that was going on, it would remind you, it would scare an American. I mean, it would make our World War II preparations, when we cranked up industry, look like a slow-moving motion picture. I mean, it was frightening. And I came back and I told my audience, look, what's going on over there right now is so incredible that we're either going to join them or they're going to go rolling over us like a steamroller or over an ant economically.
Oh, I agree. You know, Japan, which is a pretty good indicator, Japan took a complete turnaround and began to invest heavily in China and even did something that was unprecedented, had the emperor apologize to them for crimes in World War II.
I recall that, yes.
That's unprecedented. And they did that because they have announced that they believe China will be the economic giant of the world by the year 2020.
They will be. Assuming the world is still as we imagine it might be in the year 2020.
I rather doubt that it's going to be in the same form we know it now.
Were it to continue, that would be an absolute truth, though. All right, Hal Lindsey, hold on. We're at the bottom of the hour, and I am going to begin opening the lines now. So many questions for Hal Lindsey, I know. So pick your line, folks, and join us. From the high desert, where the winds are howling this night, indeed they're howling, I'm Art Bell. This is Coast to Coast AM.
talk with Art Bell in the Kingdom of Nye from outside the U.S., first, dial your access number to the USA. Then, 800-893-0903. If you're a first-time caller, call Art at 702-727-1222. From east of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, including Montana, Wyoming, Colorado, and New Mexico, call Art at 1-800-618-8255. Or call Art on the wildcard line at area code 702-727-1295. This is Coast to Coast AM from the Kingdom of Nye.
This kind of sums it up pretty well, I suppose. Somebody writes the following. Oh, gee, the perfect match. Hal Lindsey, who thinks the Bible is literal, and Art Bell, who thinks Star Trek is literature. Welcome back, Hal.
Welcome.
Somebody asks, are you still pastoring the church in Palos Verdes? How's it going? They haven't eaten you alive yet, obviously.
No, I resigned a couple of years ago because I'm traveling too much and also spending so much time writing. I've done 6 books in the last 4 years, so
it's a lot of writing.
Yeah, I haven't had time to do justice to anything like that.
All right. One thing that Father Malachi Martin and others have spoken of is 3 days of darkness. You know anything about that?
No, I don't.
Darkness. Okay. Or if the coming chastisements of the world would be because of abortion.
Oh, I don't think you could pin it to that. There are many things that are in the book of Revelation. It outlines a few things, but I think it walk
carefully around.
Mentions this. Murder.
Mm-hmm. Is abortion murder?
Hmm?
Is abortion murder?
Well, you know, it all depends on what a person believes about when life starts.
What do you believe?
I believe life starts at conception.
That would make it murder.
Right.
Okay. I'm not giving you softballs here.
No, I do believe it is murder.
All right.
But I'm not going to go shooting abortionist clinics.
Or blow them up?
I don't think that. I believe it's very important. I think Jesus never taught us to try to do anything by force. And somebody gets violent or things like that, I don't think it's right.
All right. This is a slightly sarcastic and somewhat serious mm-hmm. question. It is with regard to our president. See, I'm really serving up the hard ones here.
Okay.
Our president, in fact, I don't even want to talk about what he did. We all know what he did.
Mm-hmm.
This person thinks that your description of the Antichrist, I mean, after all, you know, our president continues to receive a 75% approval rating. That's one of the all-time high approval ratings short of George Bush after the Gulf War. For a very short time, I might add. Now, that's a very high approval rating in view of the fact that the Senate is now secretly, I might add, debating our president's future. It's kind of like you wait for 3 puffs to come up from the Senate building. They come out and say, we have a new president, or we're keeping the one we have.
Yeah. Well, Art, wouldn't you say that that's more of a commentary on the American people than on the president?
Yes.
I've watched for a long time the shift in the way people think in America. It really got into high gear in the 60s when everything became relative. There were no more absolutes.
That's right.
And so, you know, morality today is the 51% majority.
Mm-hmm.
And as the general level of morality sinks, the whole thing goes down with it because what 51% thinks gets less and less. I would say that the trial of Bill Clinton has been more a trial of the American people. There's one thing that troubles me, though, and this is not speaking as a Christian or a religious person, if you read the Constitution of the United States, it was written with the assumption that the majority of the American people would be honest and honorable.
That's right.
And when they cease to be as a majority honest and honorable, that Constitution won't work anymore.
That's absolutely correct. It's like law enforcement. Law enforcement depends on the great majority of the people being law-abiding. And
it's a thin blue line out
you
there.
You bet it is. And if even a small percentage of the people stopped becoming law-abiding, we wouldn't have anywhere near enough police.
Well, I've seen it happen. You know, look how quickly it went to the law of the jungle in both the riots we had here in Los Angeles.
That's correct.
I mean, I saw it firsthand.
So are you going to, as the millennium approaches, you going to stay in L.A.?
Probably, yes.
So you know what you're facing.
I know what I'm facing.
Yeah, exactly. You know what you're facing.
I'm not at all, thinking that it's going to be a picnic, because I can just imagine how quickly we could go to the law of the jungle if there's no food left on the shelves of the supermarket. And if
be about 2 days here where I live.
Yeah.
We depend on
You depend on trucks. Trucks depend on fuel. Fuel depends on having the electrical power grids working. So, you know, it could boomerang very quickly, and then people panic. They're going to rush in and buy everything that's there. And the person in the greatest danger will be the one that's known to have a supply of food.
That's true. That's absolutely true.
I don't know what's going to happen, but, using my computer, I know that if you get a small virus from somewhere, mm-hmm. that computer can become a multiplying piece of junk.
Well, that's right. It can take the whole thing.
Start multiplying false information, or it'll just break down.
One last question before I go to the lines. They're all lined up here to talk to you. Mm-hmm. And it is near-death experiences. We talk a lot about that on this program, and mm-hmm. we have talked with a lot of people. Tomorrow night is a prime example with Daniel Brinkley of somebody who was struck by lightning, his body caught on fire, his vital signs all went away for 20 minutes. He was dead.
Mm-hmm.
In every way we understand death. Mm-hmm. And he came back. Such things happen. He came back with stories about where he was when he was gone. Very specific stories.
Mm-hmm. I've heard a lot of these.
Yeah. What do you make of them?
Well, I believe the experiences are very real, but I begin to raise an eyebrow when they say, it doesn't matter what you believe or anything like that. You don't have to fear death.
They do say that.
And this is not true.
So there is a Satan. There is a
absolutely
a hell. It's
Jesus said,
a real thing.
What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? What shall he give in exchange for his soul? Mm-hmm. I don't think God is stupid.
I don't
think God would have gone to such extreme means to redeem a man by dying in his place if there wasn't something horrible to be rescued from. And then to make that pardon he purchased for us free to anyone who will just accept it. He's not excluding anybody. He's done every possible thing he can to make it free. And so if a man rejects it, he's excluding himself. And so, you know, I just, when I look at death, I look at something that is very permanent, very, you know, very scary, unless you have some assurance that you know where you're going.
I interviewed a young lady the other morning who, over a period of about 2 hours, gave the most remarkable story of an NDE I'd ever heard in my whole life. It was a completely negative NDE, how she went to hell.
Hmm.
People don't talk about these very frequently, and you wouldn't. You can imagine if you if you clinically died and you went to what appeared to be hell, you wouldn't come back and talk it up a lot.
Right.
But she did, and now others are beginning to do it. And so, I don't know, I just guess I wanted to ask you about the whole NDE thing. Some say nothing bad will ever happen. Others say you will experience this full life panoramic review, and you will feel every emotion and hurt that you inflicted on others as though it were your own, because it was yours. You dispensed it, now you feel it. And others say they've gone to hell. And so are these NDEs worth pursuing from your perspective as a Christian?
Well, I listen to them, study them with great interest. But I don't believe having that experience suddenly gives them infallible knowledge about death.
Mm-hmm.
The only man that's ever come back from the dead says that if you don't know him, death is a terrible thing.
All right, here we go. First time caller line, you're on the air with Hal Lindsey. Good morning.
Hi, this is Nick calling from Flower Mound, Texas, and listening on 570 Cliff.
Yes, sir.
Quick question for your guest, Mr. Lindsey. Actually, I got a couple of them. The first one was, you're talking about abortion and whether he thought it was murder.
That's right.
What about cloning? What are his views on cloning?
Oh, that's a very good question. We'll get to that. And your other question?
Also, you had a caller on not too long ago that remote viewed the devil.
Yes.
And he mentioned that Satan was a being that is alive on Earth right now.
That's correct.
And I was wondering if what Mr. Lindsey thought on this.
All right. Let's take cloning first. We are entering a really interesting time where it's going to be possible, for example, They're about to do it now, where they would take a woman's unfertilized egg and fertilize it with her own genetic code and implant it, and you would end up with a perfect replica of that that woman. What are we doing here? I mean, we're really edging toward the creative force ourselves, aren't we?
Well, I think we're getting into an area that we were never supposed to get into. You know, I still remember about, it's been almost 25 years ago, I heard a great Christian theologian named Dr. Francis Schaeffer talking about the fact that scientists used to think, they used to ask the question, can it be done?
Right.
And then they would ask the second question,
should it be done?
Yeah. But he said, we are going to arrive very soon to the point where the men in the white coats are going to say, can it be done? And the other question's irrelevant. And I think we're there.
I think we're there, too.
I think there are going to be all kinds of things that man will be able to do that would be better left undone.
The opposite, of course, would be the scientist who would say, but the benefits for mankind, for example, and I've had a scientist say this, look, we are on the edge of being able to create, for example, a being who would be your exact clone without a brain. No brain.
Mm.
This would just be a sort of a living body parts factory for you.
This is the thing that gets to be immoral. Just to produce some sort of a creature that is a spare parts facility for you.
Yes.
Now, there are certain parts, however, of this genetic study that are very good. I mean, you know, they are finding ways now to modify your DNA.
I know.
So that it will prevent you from getting certain diseases that you inherited. So, I think there's a lot of good being done. I think we have to start really seriously thinking about the ethics of whether we should clone someone or not.
Do you think, Hal, this is a very speculative question, that if we could get a sample of the blood of Jesus, and we had, of course, we have not yet quite unraveled the human genome, we're getting very close, but if we could compare the genetic structure of Jesus with that of mortal man now, would we find a difference?
You know, I really wish that could be done.
I understand.
I really wish that were possible. Yes, it would be different.
It would be different.
You see, may I describe why?
Yes, sir.
The whole biblical story puts a very great emphasis on the fact that Jesus was born of a virgin. Now, this was important because in the biblical scheme of things, the effect of sin and the culpability for sin was on the man. The woman sinned, it says, unwittingly, or she was ignorant. And so the culpability for sin is passed down by the man who is the father. The only way you could ever get a human being outside of that loop was by having a human mother,
precisely,
but not having a human father.
So the genetic mix could not be there, would
right.
not be there.
This is why there's such great emphasis put on, you know, Isaiah, 750 B.C., he predicted that the Messiah would be born of a virgin, Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. And so the reason for that is because he would have to have a human mother to be truly human. But if he had a human father, he would have the same culpability for sin that all the others did, and thus he couldn't qualify to die for others because he'd have to die for his own sins.
So there can be no question about it. The genetic structure would have to be...
Absolutely, because God is his father. You see, God is the father of the human nature of Jesus, according to the Bible. So his genetic structure would be entirely different.
Well then, if we had a sample of the blood of Jesus and we deciphered his genetic structure...
And if we could repeat it, then you'd have people that had no disease.
You would also have people who could part the sea. You would have people who could cure illness by mere touch or thought.
No.
No?
That doesn't follow.
It doesn't follow.
No, because he says he did this by faith, not by genetics. And, you know, I hate to get so much into theology. I don't want to make you feel uncomfortable.
No. It's all right.
Okay. In the book of Acts... one of the last things Jesus promised his followers, his disciples who became known as apostles, he said that they would, he said, the things that I do, you will do also, and greater things than these you will do.
And he could have been referring to this kind of science that we're discussing. All right.
What he said is, because I go to the Father, and when I go to the Father, I will send the Holy Spirit to dwell in you. See, he claims that it was the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, that dwelt in his human nature, that did the works through him as he depended on God, just like any other man had to depend on God.
All right, Hal.
We have the same Spirit, and therefore we can do the same things if we depend upon him.
I've got it. All right. Stay right there. And the other question involved Satan, and that one has already been answered. And the answer is affirmative. So I'll answer that one for you, and we might pick up on this as we come back. And I got a whole call in, didn't I? We're going to lay into the phones very heavily when we get back from the high desert. I'm Art Bell, and this is Coast to Coast AM this night with Hal Lindsey. Stay right where you are.
What a wonderful world.
From the Kingdom of Nigh, this is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. From east of the Rockies, call Art at 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, including Montana, Wyoming, Colorado, and New Mexico, at 1-800-618-8255. First-time callers may reach Art at area code 702-727-1222. And you may fax Art at area code 702-727-8499. Please limit your faxes to one or two pages. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. Now again, Here's Art.
Once again, here I am, and I never, ever step on this line, so here it comes.
I see friends shaking hands.
I sure hope that's true. About a year, huh? What a wonderful world. My guest is Hal Lindsey, and he's going to be back in a moment, and I promise we'll be much more heavily into the phones this hour. Once again, here is probably the most respected prophecy teacher in the world, Hal Lindsey. Hal, just to sort of finish up our conversation, and then I'm really going to go to these phones. We discussed the fact that Jesus, if we could test it, if we could test his blood, would have a totally different genetic structure, or at least different in measurable ways than human beings would. Now, human beings have souls. I'm sure you embrace that concept. We have souls, right? So if we were to take a woman's unfertilized egg and fertilize it with her own genetic structure, and we produced an identical in every way being, would that being, as we understand it, have a soul? It would not have been created from a union between a man and a woman. It would have simply been created with science. Would it be as we understand a human being to be, with a soul?
I would assume so, Art. As much as I know of it, I would assume that it would have a soul. The only thing is have the same emotional personality characteristics as the one from which it was cloned. Mm-hmm. But you can't have life without a soul. So if the clone is a living being, it has to have a soul.
Human life all has a soul.
Yes.
Not animals.
Animals have a soul also.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Really? Now, yeah. I didn't expect that from you at all.
Well, the image of God is that which makes us different from animals. And the Bible speaks of God breathing life, or giving life to animals, and it speaks of them with the same Greek word, psuche, in the Greek, and nephesh in the Hebrew. So, you know, it speaks of them having that. But what sets a big gulf between us is the fact that we have will, emotion, intellect, and moral reason. That's the image of God in us. And so there's a great difference between those powers that we have, personality, and what animals have.
There is another thing to be concerned about. Gosh, I'm so sorry. I'm going to the phones, folks, I promise. We are on the edge of creating an aware computer. It will happen soon.
Very soon.
We are increasing storage and speed exponentially. And one of these days, we're going to have a machine, Hal, that is going to be self-aware. And then what are we going to have on our hands? A sentient being of some sort is going to be created.
Yes, I understand that they're about to create artificial intelligence.
Yes.
I think that there will still have to be input from a human being, though. In other words, there will still have to be critical input. Now, I suppose that one of these things could go independent sometime. That's what Terminator 2 and Terminator 1 was all about.
Sure.
But and also HAL in the 2001 Space Odyssey. But I don't know all about it, but my understanding of the technology is that these things are a far cry from being able to go completely independent.
Well,
they can have artificial intelligence, become somewhat self-aware, but still there has to be some input to keep them going.
Okay. I'm doing as I promised. Now, Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Hal Lindsey. Good morning. Where are you, please?
Hi, Art. This is Greg over in El Cajon, California.
Yes, sir.
Hi, Art. I just wanted to start off by saying I was able to actually get through your book, The Art of Talk, this last weekend.
Oh.
And I loved it.
Thank you.
I especially liked the part about the Amerasian children.
Yes.
That was an unbelievable task that you folks took upon yourselves and climbed a huge mountain, I think.
It was really something, yes.
It sure was. Hal, it's an honor to speak to you.
Thank you.
I just have a couple of quick questions, and I'll jump off and listen. My first one is this. Myself personally, Hal, I do have a belief of the near-death experience.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as you had said in your belief, which I do respect, that Christ is the only person in the flesh that's ever been or come back to life after being dead, correct?
That has actually been resurrected. There have been others that have come back from death.
And he makes a good point. I mean, nobody's gone 3 days that I know of and been back.
Yeah, you're very right.
I mean, actually, you know, the body had to be completely rejuvenated and resurrected.
Sure. So
in that sense, yes. I know of a lot of near-death experiences.
Okay.
Which I believe are genuine.
As far as the near-death experience goes, though, Hal, do you believe that that's an actual reality of the God that you believe in, or do you feel that possibly it's just a creation of our own complex mind to deal with the loss of the physical body?
Well, you know, and I have to say that, you know, I always come at things in this area from the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible speaks of there being two sources of supernatural. One is God, one is Satan. And there are, I believe a person can genuinely die, and he can get experiences that are very real, but they may be coming from Satan. And what better way to advertise a false confidence about death than to be given information while you're in that near-death experience, and then come back and proclaim you don't have to be afraid of death. You know, it's not all that bad.
So you don't feel that, I mean, as a lot of people who have experienced NDEs in the past, that some believe that we all pretty much go back to our own point of origin after we die, no matter what you've done or who you are. Do you believe, in your opinion, that that's true or false?
That's false.
That's false. Okay, well, Mr. Lindsey, it was a privilege to speak with you, and thank you very much.
And you know, I respect your belief too, sir.
And I respect yours.
It's kind of hard, though.
Very much so.
Thank you.
All right,
sir.
Thank you very much for the call. Take care. That was very interesting. Very interesting. So you're saying that it could be, and very well may be, false information that these people come back with who have NDEs.
Right.
How do you...
Not in every case.
Well, then how do you rationalize or, you know, throw the negative NDEs into that same box? The ones where people go to a real hellish place. I wish you could hear this young lady.
I've heard of another. And I believe in that case they were probably genuinely seeing the truth. Because that's what there are some indications will happen.
Just one other quick item. Going back to Father Martin, I think of Father Martin so frequently now.
Mm-hmm.
He had a stroke, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he's recovering. And he is recovering, by the way, for those of you who want
to know. Well, I wish the very best to him. I'm sorry to hear he had a stroke.
We had such a serious discussion one night about people that he referred to as perfectly possessed by the devil. And when he said perfectly possessed, he meant people that we revere, people that are successful in business, particularly very successful, people who have had great success, perhaps, perfectly possessed by the devil. In other words, they have made a kind of a silent pact with Satan, in which they are receiving whatever they wanted in this life. And he said, when you pass them on the street, you know it. Mm-hmm. What do you make of that?
Well, you know, as I wrote about this in my latest book, Planet Earth, Final Chapter, I give a vivid description in there about the Antichrist and his situation. But I also mentioned that, you know, this is something that does happen today.
These are not people that we immediately, for example, regard as evil in some way.
That's correct.
In many cases, we look up to them.
Yeah, that's correct.
But their souls are already sold.
That's the beautiful side of evil.
East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Hal Lindsey. Good morning. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air, dear. Where are you?
Oh, okay, I'm in New Jersey.
New Jersey, okay.
And my name is Nancy. I called for another reason, but I had heard you speak earlier in the week about this NDE. I had an NDE negative from which you're speaking in 1988, and I had spoken of, tried to find other people. It was so real. There were smells, which I have never smelled. It was so horrifying, and I had, I was clinically depressed, and I had tried to take my own life. So I had the belief in the Lord that I was going to go to see the Lord. I didn't think about demons or devils, or I just knew that I was going to see Jesus and be with him. And where I went was so horrible, and I had searched when I came out of that, and for at least 10 years, for other people that had experienced these same things. And it wasn't until last week I heard you speak of this.
Yes, you don't find them because they don't talk about them.
No. Or if they do, and they will not admit that that they had this, or that I ended up, they put me in the hospital because of this, and after this experience, I had this thirst to read the Bible like never before, and it's never stopped. I read the Bible.
That's what should have happened, and I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, and I'm glad too, and I don't ever want to go back there, but I will never forget the smell. And these things that had a hold of my heart, literally, fleshly, of my heart, and were trying to rip it. And they made these horrible noises like they were vomiting, and they were tearing. One was going one way and another way. I could go. It was very long. I was...
you should call me at another time.
Yeah,
and
okay,
go
but
through
this
it.
Is why I did call. Sorry about that. Here in New Jersey... I'm like an hour and a half from New York, 20 minutes from Philadelphia. In the last 2 years, you cannot drive within 1 mile. It's like the battle of the pharmacies. And it gives me a weird feeling. I don't know, and I'm asking Mr. Lindsey, or you or whatever, if you know of anything that this is referring to, that what is going on, that there needs to be a pharmacy in every mile.
All right. Actually, it's a good question. Americans are medicated to death, and a lot of people take a certain drug on a regular basis just to remain functional. Use that word, functional. So her question was, we are indeed a drug-dependent nation.
Yes. Well, we really are, and I think people are trying to medicate. They're trying to do away with a sense of insecurity, a sense of apprehension, a sense of anxiety.
They're medicating out reality.
And that's right, and that's not the best way to handle it. By the way, I have a book called Amazing Grace that I think this lady would really enjoy reading. It would really answer a lot of questions that I perceive she had.
With respect to your books, we have links to Amazon.com on my website. They can go immediately and click on any one of your books, and they'll be right there where they can grab it. Or obviously...
Yeah, they're all on the Amazon.com.
They're all there, and they're also, of course, in bookstores nationwide. I assume your new book is pretty well in the stores now?
Yes, it is. In fact, in the Christian world, it's number one.
Number one.
Yeah. Planet Earth, the final chapter. And we have high hopes for this new one that's coming out, Facing Millennial Midnight. I think it's something that takes a very sensible approach to it, but I think it's going to be very convincing, and it's going to tell people how to prepare for it without being too excessive.
There are so many voices out there, and they all say, listen to me, because I have the right path. I can tell you the true path. So many voices that it's like trying to figure out who killed President Kennedy.
Oh, I know, and it must be bewildering.
It is.
May I throw out something here?
Sure.
I know this is, we're saying a lot of things. I just imagine it's stirring up a lot of curiosity out there. We have a website called IIB.report.com. I should say IIB-report.com. IIB is in Baker-report.com.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it has news flashes and things, but it is a way of contacting us if people have questions.
In other words, there's an email capability that can send your email and actually ask questions?
Right.
Are you able to respond to that volume of email? I have really...
I imagine you have a real problem.
I have a terrible problem. And
it's difficult art, but we try.
You know, I remember the day when I was on one radio station, and I personally would always reply to every single person, but it's so far out of my control now.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You've got people from all over the world tuned into you.
And so,
do it all.
You must have exactly the same problem.
Somewhat. But I'll tell you what's generating the greatest response for us right now. Cliff Ford and I do a news show on KTBN television.
Right.
Every Thursday, 5:30 and 11 o'clock Pacific Coast.
That's national, isn't it? TBN?
Yes, it's international, actually.
Okay.
And this is a news show that's generating a tremendous amount of attention right now.
I can imagine with what's in the news right now. All right.
Well, you can't miss with the news that's out there right now.
I know. I know, believe me, I know. All right, Hal, hold on. We'll be right back. We're at the bottom of the hour. Hal Lindsey is my guest. He's really right about that. You can't miss with the news that's out there right now. It's hard to listen to, but he's right. You can't miss. Stay right where you are. The old expression goes. Do you agree?
Talk with Art Bell in the Kingdom of Nye. From east of the Rockies, dial 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, including Montana, Wyoming, Colorado, and New Mexico, 1-800-618-8255. First-time callers may reach Art at area code 702-727-1222. And you may call Art on the wildcard line at area code 702-727-1295. To reach Art from outside the U.S., first dial your access number to the USA, then 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM from the Kingdom of Nye with Art Bell.
It certainly is. This will be a four-hour program. Hal will be with us, I am informed, until the end here, which is just great. I don't mean it quite literally, but the end of this program, of course. If you would like a copy of this particular program, you can get it. God, this is great music, isn't it? By calling 1-800-917-4278. And you you would want to request the four-hour show with Hal Lindsey, 1-800-917-4278. And if you want information, more information on Hal Lindsey, let me tell you some of the links we've got up to his IBReport.com website. We've got book links to Facing the Millennium Midnight, Apocalypse Code, Amazing Grace, Planet Earth, the final chapter, Blood Moon, Planet Earth, 2000 AD, Will Mankind Survive, The Final Battle, There's a New World Coming, an in-depth analysis of the Book of Revelation, The Guilt Trip, and The Messiah. We've got links to all of those books right now on my website. Simply go up to www.artbell.com, go down to the name Hal Lindsey, and take your choice. In there like this, Hal, you must be a night person.
I am. Caught me with my mouth full.
Hal, do you believe in angels?
Yes, I do.
You do. I would really be out of line if I didn't ask you two questions. I have a photograph that was given to me, that came to me the other day by mail. I've never seen anything like it in my life. It shows a car wreck. There's nothing left of this car. I mean, it is just totaled, smashed. Nothing could have walked away from this. And yet, the people who were in this wreck walked away without a scratch. No injury, no death. There should have been utter death. And in the picture, there is what appears to be an apparition, an angel, right in front of this car wreck. The photograph was taken by a professional photographer who, you know, goes to this kind of scene and takes these kinds of photographs, and almost tossed out, but a gal in the Midwest snapped it up and sent it to me. I've never seen anything like it in my life. But
well,
why
sounds
don't,
about right.
Yeah, you know, I know, but why don't angels, why are they so selective? It's another one of the questions that got me tossed out of Sunday school. I mean, why are they so selective? These people live, innocent babies die. Why?
Well, I think the only answer for me is that if a person, for instance, these people lived, it wasn't God's time for them to die.
That's the answer you get. And then when a little child is taken, an innocent child, they say it's God's will. It's that child's time to be taken.
Yes, but I believe that all children below the age of reason, where they can reason, you know, and understand things, I believe all of those are taken to heaven anyway.
All right. One more, and then back to the phones. And this one, I'd be in trouble for not asking. Look, on my program, I make no bones about it. We talk many times about the possibility of alien life. And I don't see how anybody can go out and look into the heavens and the stars and the billions of light years that are out there with all those planets and not imagine there would be life. But Pat Robertson said that people who believe in UFOs should be stoned. The old biblical,
really?
Put them up against the wall and throw stones at. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he said that.
Well, you know, Art, I don't see anything in the Bible that says there couldn't be alien life or that there couldn't be extraterrestrials. Certainly angels are extraterrestrial. But there's nothing in the Bible that I have read that would say there couldn't be other forms of life.
Interesting. Interesting. Why do you think that so many in the Christian community find it so challenging to everything they believe?
Well, I guess fear of the unknown.
Yep, there is that.
I don't know. I don't, you know, I wouldn't think it would upset my faith if there existed some things like this. However, in that arena, there's a great room for deception.
Well, let me bring up a very interesting example. There is a scholar named Zachariah Sitchin. I assume you know that name. I have interviewed him any number of times. His basic contention, without going into the whole story, is that there was intervention in human evolution, that at some point, beings from elsewhere intervened, bringing us the sudden jump to intelligence and self-awareness that we now have. You certainly would argue with that one.
Mm-hmm.
I thought so. West of the Rockies, you're on
there.
But
you know, there are a lot of people who are spinning out that kind of thing. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
I thought you wanted to respond.
No, no. Well, go ahead and finish.
There are a lot of tales about that. There are even prophets in the New Age who predict that extraterrestrials will come back to the Earth.
That's right.
And that they will remove all people on Earth that would hinder mankind from taking his next quantum leap into a new new level of consciousness.
Hmm. Well, a lot of New Age types come on my show and they say things like this, Hal. They say something is returning.
Yes.
And I'm sure you would agree with them insofar as that sentence goes.
Yeah.
All right.
But I think therein, I think this may be something that sets up a big deception because demons can fake things like that.
That's right. All right. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Hal Lindsey. Hi.
Hi. Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
I do have some questions for Mr. Lindsey.
Fire away.
And I just want to preface with I worship no man because I know y'all have clay feet.
Yep.
But I want you to know that speaking to both of you gentlemen tonight is going to be something I'm going to remember for the rest of my life. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. To Mr. Lindsey, with regard to the Antichrist, in Matthew 24:15, when Jesus speaks of the abomination of desolation that the prophet Daniel spoke about, is this somehow tied in, perhaps in secret ritual, with the Asherah? My next question is in respect to UFOs.
Well, all right, hold it. One at a time.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Hal?
Okay. The prophet Daniel, chapter 9, verse 27, he predicts there will be an abomination that causes desolation.
Okay.
And this is defined. Jesus says, Jesus quoting that,
right.
It says, when you see the abomination that causes desolation standing in the holy place, well, that's the Holy of Holies of the temple,
right?
Which means it has to be rebuilt. But then the Apostle Paul further comments on that when he says that the Antichrist is going to set up a statue of himself in the temple. And he's going to take his seat in the Holy of Holies of the temple and there proclaim himself to be God. That is the abomination that causes desolation.
Okay, thank you.
UFOs.
Yes, sir. The book of Ezekiel, chapter 1, verses 16 through 21.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that sounds a lot like UFOs if you read it. And
it certainly
especially
does.
In verse 16, if you take into consideration the American translation, the English translation of the word barrel, which does not exist in Hebrew, the closest thing in Hebrew, to my knowledge, that exists to barrel is highly polished bronze. And I was just wondering what you think about
all this. You're absolutely correct.
So do you think that is a reference then to UFOs?
Well,
is that putting your neck
you know,
on the line?
It sounds like some sort of space machine that was far in advance of technology that existed at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Right on.
So, you know, it was sent by God, but it certainly represents something that looks very much like a UFO.
Okay, good enough. First time caller line, you're on the air with Hal Lindsey. Hi.
Yes, good morning, Art.
Good morning, sir. You're going to have to yell at us here a little bit.
Okay, my name is Paul. I'm calling from Rio Rancho, New Mexico.
Yes, sir.
And I've been praying for you to have a show like this for a while.
Well, here we are.
Thank you, Art. Hal, I've been watching you on TV and supporting you for about 10 years now.
Thank you.
And I love the work you're doing. I'm a Christian. I believe everything you're saying. And I'll look you up in the marriage supper.
Thank you.
And, Art, you asked Hal at the last hour about how long will it be till the end. And Art, Hal said that I don't give it a year.
That's what he said.
Now,
Hal, no. I didn't say I don't give it a year.
That's my question. You misunderstood.
Oh, I guess
yeah,
I
yeah.
did.
No, that was a misunderstanding.
Then please clear it up for me. What?
I'm sorry, Art. I didn't. I probably wasn't paying close enough attention at that moment. No, what I did say is that no one can pick the year with accuracy.
Uh-huh.
But what I believe is it could happen at any time. I don't know when. No one can say the day or the hour, but we're in the general time of it.
See, Art, the tribulation is going to take 7 years to happen. So the rapture could happen at any time now. And regarding near-death experiences,
mm-hmm.
Satan in the Bible is called many names, and the Bible says that the world belongs to Satan, and he's the father of lies, and he twists things.
Yes.
You know, truth to make it lies to lead people the wrong way.
Yes.
And one other title that Satan has, he's the angel of light. So you get all these people that have these NDEs, and they always see this bright light. So just think about it, you know.
I've thought a lot about it, caller. Thank you very much. As a matter of fact, this is probably getting old. You know, my audience is probably tired of hearing it, but it affected me so that I can never forget it. Everybody who talks about these NDEs, Hal,
mm-hmm.
always talks about going to the light, their relatives beckoning them on, angelic beings and all the rest of it, you know, the tunnel. You've heard the whole story, I'm sure.
That seems to all be very consistent.
Very consistent. But I had a good friend on who said, you know, it's all a big trick. Going to the light is a trick, and what you should be doing is going to the darkness.
Really?
Yeah. It's been driving me nuts ever since I heard it. It's never left me alone intellectually. It's all a trick. And indeed, there is deceit. So you said it yourself when referring to NDEs.
Right. Well, I believe, though, that that the destiny of the one who has received the gift of pardon that Christ died to give him is to go toward the light.
Okay. Okay, good. I'm going to bear that in mind. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Hal Lindsey. Hi.
Hello.
Hello. Where are you?
Hi, I'm in South Carolina.
All right.
My question for Mr. Lindsey is this. When Jesus returns for his church and there's so many people that have disappeared, I've always been curious as to how this will be explained. And with the emphasis today on UFOs, do you think that could be a very real explanation?
Yes. As a matter of fact, you know, what I was speaking of just a while ago about the New Age prophecy that those who would hinder this quantum leap into a new consciousness will mm-hmm. be removed, that would be a perfect explanation.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Okay.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you. It would be indeed. East of the Rockies, good morning. You're on the air with Hal Lindsey.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, hi. I'm sorry. I'm calling from Dallas, Texas.
Dallas, all right.
I have a question really for both of you.
Okay.
There's a man by the name of Will Loy. He publishes a newsletter called a News Bulletin. He claims to be the last living prophet. This man has visions that he interprets.
Mm-hmm.
He has revelations.
Mm-hmm.
He is predicting some pretty horrible things to come in the near future, like within the next 2 or 3 years, starting with the millennium.
Right.
Are either one of you familiar with this man? Mr. Bell, have you ever had him on?
No, ma'am. I would, if you want to provide contact information, I'd be more than happy to have him on, but he would be echoing what so many others are saying.
I don't think so.
Oh.
You should read what this guy is saying. That asteroid that they said was going to hit the Earth, he's saying it's definitely going to hit.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's October 16th at 1:30 p.m. in the year 2039. He says that the space missions are all designed to develop a way to extend man's life, but
to stop
only for
this.
The elite people. He's got a lot of weird stuff. That's why I was wondering if either one of you were familiar with him.
No, well, no, but it doesn't matter. I am familiar with many prophets, modern-day, New Age prophets, who are saying that the Earth will be struck by a rock, an asteroid, a bolide, whatever you want to call it. We will be hit. And indeed, Hal, you mentioned earlier,
mm-hmm.
Hollywood is knocking them out one after another.
One after another.
Disaster
right.
movies one after another.
I really don't believe that's the way things are going to be brought to a crisis. if we get hit by an asteroid, it'll have to be a small one, because anything that's of significant size would wipe out all life on this earth.
And that is not how it will occur.
Right. Jesus said that unless he returns at the moment in history that he does, mm-hmm. that there would be no one left alive. But he said he will return for the sake of the elect.
Jerry Falwell said that he believes the return of Jesus is imminent within the decade. Would you agree?
Well, I think it's imminent, but I wouldn't pin it down to a decade.
So you think he's reaching a little
bit?
He could
come. I believe he could come tonight, but I'm not going to say that I know he's coming tonight. But I know that this, you know, we're getting toward the end of life expectancy for people that saw the foundation of the State of Israel. So, mm-hmm. you know, it's getting close. I just wouldn't pin it down to a year.
How do you reconcile the fact that many that did see Israel formed as a nation in 48 are already gone?
Well, it doesn't say everyone would. It just simply says the generation that...
Oh, I see. So that's a general reference then,
right,
to that generation.
Not to every individual, but to the generation in general.
Well, it wouldn't put it too far outside a decade, would it?
Not too far.
First-time caller line, you're on the air with Hal Lindsey. Good morning.
Good morning.
Do you have a question?
Yes, I do, Mr.
Where are you, by the way?
Middletown, Ohio.
Okay, extinguish your radio for us,
yes,
please.
Yes, I'm sorry.
That's all right. Okay, she had to put her phone down to do
mm-hmm.
that. Something you should always do right away, folks. Have it nearby.
I'm sorry, I didn't think I would get through, and I didn't want to miss any of the program.
You have. So go right ahead.
Okay. I have listened to TBN Hal Lindsey for many, many years. And about 30 years ago, I had a vision of an Antichrist as a child, about 3 years old. And I won't go into detail of descriptions, but I would like Mr. Lindsey's opinion of that.
Say you had a vision.
Yes, I saw this child about 3 years old.
Okay.
And I proceeded as a young person with my visions with the Lord and St. Michael coming to me, but I could not see the Lord's face. Mm-hmm. And he stated, the end is near. And from that point on, through my churches and all, I've had what I have called visions that have come to pass.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, what about, Hal, just answering, what about people who have visions generally?
Well, I know that Christians have visions, and I think that they just simply need to check those visions against what the Bible says.
Mm-hmm. Right. All right. Stay
right. I think there are true visions, and I think there can be visions that are deceptive, and you have to prove them.
One way or the other.
One way or the other. As the Scripture says, try the spirits and see if they be of God.
A few minutes of rest. We'll be right back.
It's been a too long time with no peace of mind, and I'm ready for the times to get better.
Now here is the voice of an angel. Good morning, everybody. Her name is Crystal. I'm Art Bell, and this is Coast to Coast AM.
Tell you, I've been racking my brain, hoping to find a way out. I've had enough of...
To talk with Art Bell in the Kingdom of Nye from outside the U.S., first, dial your access number to the USA. Then 800-893-0903. If you're a first-time caller, call Art at 702-727-1222. From east of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, including Montana, Wyoming, Colorado, and New Mexico, call Art at 1-800-618-8255. Or call Art on the wildcard line at area code 702-727-1295. This is Coast to Coast AM from the Kingdom of Nye.
It is that. Hal Lindsey is my guest. By the way, this will be a four-hour program. If you would like a copy of it, you can get it by calling 24 hours a day, 1-800-917-4278. That's 1-800-917-4278. Back to Hal Lindsey. Hal.
Hey, Art.
Yes.
One question.
Sure.
I love your music. Where do you get it?
I don't know. I just sort of pick it out.
It's great.
Thank you.
It's always appropriate, too.
I just pick out what I like.
Yeah, I like your music.
That's the nice thing about being able to do it yourself. I don't have an engineer and all that stuff. I just do it myself.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I do it from home, too.
That's terrific.
Here's interesting little facts for you. Art, please ask Hal the following. Speaking as one of the damned, and I say that only because I've looked very hard for God, and I cannot bring myself, for all of my desire, to believe in Jesus or the God of the Bible, what are people like me looking forward to? Hell? Damnation? I believe myself to be a good person, and I believe in God. I just can't buy into a God that plans on destroying the majority of all the people on both on the planet, both past and present and future. Just like to know ahead of time so I can crack open a six-pack, smoke a joint, clip my toenails, and watch reruns of MASH until damnation. So I can die happily. John. What do you say to someone like that?
Well, that's a very sad fact. But you know, I just say to John that I think we're going to be surprised how many people will be with the God. But he obviously has a concern about where he is. And if he really desires to know Jesus and whether he's true or not, then I believe he'll find him.
Mm-hmm. One more.
Because someone who loved him enough to die for him is certainly anxious to reveal himself to him.
One more.
Yeah.
Would you care to comment on the state of the church these days? Every time I try to get back among the flock, I'm disappointed. It seems they mostly rely on a cult of personality built around a charismatic individual. And there is a lot of that going around, isn't there?
Sorry to say it is true. I'm sort of a Catholic Babbitarian myself. I don't know. I often am very embarrassed for Jesus because of the way some churches act. I mean, they drive people away. But there are some that, you know, they have the focus where it should be, and that's on the Lord, and they don't try to build it around some personality who's just trying to build himself an empire.
Well, you spend a lot of television time yourself.
Yes.
And, you know, the televangelists went through their own little tribulation here not long ago.
Yep.
And in some ways, it's still now going on. It just sort of all came out at once. Jim and Tammy Baker. I used to watch Jim and Tammy on satellite.
Really?
Oh, yes. Yes, I did. They were actually, in their own way, quite entertaining. But then there were the gold fixtures and the you know, all the troubles. And
well,
I think that turned a lot of people. I mean, it really turned a lot of people away.
Right, it did. No question about it. But, you know, if you focus on men, they're going to disappoint you.
Every time.
I mean, I have my feet of clay. I'm certainly not perfect. I'm just a sinner that's saved by grace. But I'm a sinner. I came from that. And yet, the difference between me and what I was before is now I'm a saved sinner.
And, you know, it's made a change in my life. Of course it has. But that doesn't mean that I don't fall. But, you know, if therefore we can't put our eyes on men. Men will always let you down because we're all still vulnerable. But
here's
if you focus on Jesus, you're not going to be disappointed.
Right, okay. Well, here's a problem. I have a serious problem with this, Hal. Serious. There are a couple of people in my life who are born-again, serious, preaching Christians. Well, I'll tell you, one bad word, and they're all over you. You know, one four-letter word, and they're all over you.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just really preaching like crazy to me. But I've got to be honest with you, Hal.
You'd never find me doing that.
I'm just trying to set this up. These are real people that I know that I have
right,
a problem with in my life. And some of them, while preaching one side, from the other side, they are the most unethical, immoral, backstabbing son of a guns that you'd ever want to meet in your whole life. And it is so hypocritical that I can't stand it.
You know, I'm really sorry, and I know what you're talking about. Some people wear their religion like a heavy perfume.
Yeah.
You know, you put too much of it on, and you start parading it around too much, you drive people away. And yet, you know, the thing that really drew me to this, in spite of the fact that I was very much against Christianity, was focusing on, I just read about Jesus, and as I read about him, this was a man I could relate to. He didn't go around condemning people for everything, you know, and it's God didn't appoint us as his prosecuting attorneys to be down here condemning people for what they, you know, for a curse word or something like that.
A lot of that going on, though, and a
yeah.
lot. And what really bothers me is that those
that's,
very
that's not going to separate people from God. Sorry.
All right. First time caller line. You're on the air with Hal Lindsey. Hi.
Hi. This is Larry from Reno.
Hello, Larry.
I have a question for you. You were talking about the Jesus coming back to Earth or coming back to within the next whenever. Let's say that. The Antichrist was here. How would the Antichrist know that he was the Antichrist? And wouldn't they both have to be here at the same time? And if so, when was this 1,000 years that the Antichrist was supposed to reign?
Well, the Antichrist is not supposed to reign for 1,000 years. It's Jesus who's supposed to reign for 1,000 years.
1,000 years of peace, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But how will the Antichrist know he's the Antichrist?
Yes.
I don't think he's going to sit around thinking about it. I really think
would he just
he's
discover?
Going to be kind of like Hitler. You know, Hitler thought he was on some sort of a God-given mission,
mm-hmm.
self-deceived.
So does Saddam Hussein.
Yeah, Saddam Hussein. He doesn't see himself as a bad person.
Mm-hmm.
But he hangs his friend on meat hooks.
Mm.
I don't think that makes them antichrists.
No. No, it doesn't. The Antichrist is someone who's unique. He's a person that's going to be possessed by the devil himself.
Would we know?
Well, he may not know. And Hal already said that. In other words, he's saying, as Hitler didn't know or perceived himself as a good person or Saddam Hussein or anybody else, the Antichrist will not know.
So I think he'll see himself on some sort of a mission and more than a man and so forth. He'll see himself as sort of messianic complex.
Very interesting. Thanks very much, fellas.
Thank you.
So in other words, under the wrong circumstances, the Antichrist might be locked up in a mental institution somewhere.
Yeah, if we could really see what was in him. But he will be extremely intelligent.
Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Hal Lindsey. Hi, where are you, please?
Hi there, this is Karen in Houston.
Hi, Karen.
How you doing, Art?
All right.
It's good to talk to both of you.
Thank you.
On your subject a while ago, Art, where you were talking about certain people in your life and in your family.
Yes.
Edgar Cayce, in the book of Revelation, where he had given some readings, said that the Gentiles are those who, being very devout without, have grown smaller within. I think that answers something for you there. when I was in Sunday school, I didn't get too many questions answered either, so I've got a couple of them for both of you.
Okay.
All right, good. I think I'm asking the right ones. Okay.
I don't know about that.
In preparation for Christ to be born and for John the Baptist to be born, there were certain things that were prepared, and I believe the Essenes were the ones who did this. Who's going to prepare the way for what's coming now? Do you have any idea?
Al?
I don't believe it was the Essenes, personally. I believe the prophets prepared the way for him. But who's going to prepare the way for who now? For the Antichrist to come or what?
For Christ. And if the Essenes are like the lowest order, or they were really the Jewish sect, you know.
No one's going to prepare the way for Christ to come back.
Okay.
I mean, he's coming back to rescue a civilization from annihilation, self-annihilation. Because what is presented in all of these prophecies about those final days before he returns is that man himself is the one who brings such destruction on the planet that all life is almost wiped out, which shows us that that couldn't have happened before today when we have weapons of mass destruction.
All right. And I've got another question for you. This is kind of off the wall, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
In demon possession,
mm-hmm.
whenever Christ was walking upon the earth and he came upon the possessed man that had the demons in him that called themselves Legion,
mm-hmm.
and when they knew that he was going to expel them,
mm-hmm.
all right, they pleaded with Christ to send them into a herd of swine rather than just expel them.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think this would be? Is there something to dimensionality, the places where the soul can be and where it can return from, or where it just goes and poof, it's gone?
Oh, yes. Actually, a very good question. Now,
it's an excellent question. These are demons are spirits. They're fallen angels. They're spirits that cannot express themselves on earth unless they have a material body to possess. So this is why, rather than be dispossessed of a body, they would rather go into swine than just be dispossessed spirits.
Wow.
Now, there's this, one thing I need to add here. There's a certain restraint on all of this right now. But the Bible predicts that that restraint will be removed shortly before all of this breaks loose in that seven-year period.
So all hell breaks loose.
All
literally.
Hell literally breaks loose. You've had a friend of mine on here, Art Chuck Missler.
Oh, yes.
He's a dear friend of mine, and I understand y'all talked about a lot of these things.
We did, yes.
Especially the alien invasion and so forth.
Sure. Sure. I mean, it's gigantic news right now in one way. I mean, it's pop culture, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Millions, on the other hand, millions and millions of Americans, maybe even over half of all Americans, have seen something that they regard as impossible in our skies.
I agree with you.
So something's happening.
Oh, yeah. You see, this is something that I will agree with totally, and that is these people have seen something.
I'm one of them.
Yeah, and I've seen it, too. I've seen on two or three occasions.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe the phenomena is real. The source is what I'm questioning.
Mm-hmm. You think it could, obviously, you lean toward the possibility of it being demonic.
Right. Because they certainly have the power to materialize things.
I also interview a lot of scientists, and one of my favorite is Dr. Michio Kaku, New York City University,
mm-hmm.
theoretical physicist, and he strongly believes that we are but one dimension and that ultimately there will be discovered as many as 10 to 12 or more dimensions.
This is possible.
Separate realities, parallel and separate realities. And one has to indeed wonder whether some of these manifestations come from these other dimensions.
Well, I know that there are certainly more than the three dimensions that we're accustomed to.
It's just the nature of them that we discuss, I guess. Yes. All right. Wild Card Line, you're on the air with Hal Lindsey. Hi.
Yes, this is Mark from Evansville, Indiana.
Hi, Mark. You're going to have to yell a little. You're not too loud.
Okay. I've got an answer rather than a question.
Okay.
In the Bible, the Lord calls himself a creator, and he calls himself eternal and unchanging. So it's unthinkable to think that there is no other life out there besides us, because the Lord says that he's already created it, and he's going to continue to create it.
You agree with that? How unthinkable there wouldn't be life out there? Is it that strong?
Well, I wouldn't put it quite that strong, but I think that there certainly is the possibility of it. I mean, we are just now discovering galaxies we didn't know exist.
That's right. New discoveries every day. You watch CNN, and every day science is saying, well, gee, we used to think this, but look, look at this. Here's what we now know, and it's always something different. How do you feel generally about science? Are you concerned about the direction that science is going, or generally pleased?
Well, I'm concerned. You know, I'm not one that thinks we should try to go backwards, but my greatest concern is with the ethics of the scientists involved. I still like for them to really consider the question, should we do it?
Well, you know, they did ask that question when they tested the first A-bomb, and they thought there was a distinct possibility the entire atmosphere would go into a chain reaction and blow up and destroy us all.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? They pushed the button anyway.
Yeah.
So that probably tells you what they would do. We'll be right back. From the high desert, this is Coast to Coast AM.
Have a fax for Art Bell in the Kingdom of Nye. Send it to him at area code 702-727-8499. 702-727-8499. Please limit your faxes to one or two pages. This is Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. Now, here again is Art.
My guest is Hal Lindsey. Again, to get a copy of this program, dial 1-800-917-4278. Have you ever listened to the words of this song?
Silent, and in the naked light I saw 10,000 people, maybe more. People talking without speaking, people hearing without listening, people writing songs never share. No one did disturb the sound of silence.
Just a little more.
Who said I do not know? Silence like a cancer grows. Hear my words that I might teach you. Take my arms that I might reach you. But my words, like silent raindrops, fell, echoing the will of silence. And the people bowed and prayed to the neon god they made. And the sign from
It really does say it. We'll be right back. Go to my website and click on Hal Lindsey's name. You will see, you'll go immediately to his website if that's what you choose. There are many books there as well. But it talks about the intelligence briefing program with Hal Lindsey and Cliff Ford. 30 minutes of late-breaking news and commentary that spans our world today and looks ahead to the effects on our future. And that's... that's every Thursday night on TBN, which is actually, as he pointed out, international. So I guess I should ask you before we march back to the lines, when you look at today's news, how do you digest, what do you see based on present trends in the news happening?
I see us edging ever closer to that crescendo where the Middle East crisis ignites and drags the whole world into a global war.
Could that occur, as I suggested earlier, when Yasser Arafat makes his declaration? Could that push it over the edge?
No, I don't think that will bring it, but I think that will bring a crisis that will be, you know, that's going to cause the world a lot of trouble. I mean, there's going to be certainly a shifting of allegiances on the part of nations right now. I see the United States is shifting a bit in their support of Israel.
So it would seem.
And so I think there could be some trouble, but I don't think that that's going to be the one that ignites the final war.
Okay. First time caller line, you're on the air with Hal Lindsey. Good morning.
Good morning, Art.
Where are you, sir?
Good morning, Hal. Vancouver, Washington.
All right.
My name's Wayne.
Yes, Wayne.
I've been an Art Bell listener for about 6 years now, and I think I've been listening to Hal for since the early days of Park of the Pines in the late 60s, early 70s.
Wow, the Park of the Pines. I haven't heard that in a long time.
Yeah. So I've got a fairly good feel for both of you gentlemen and where you're coming from. We have a strange paradox. Seems like most people you talk to seriously really do want to go to heaven, but nobody I know wants to die to get there. On a more serious note, though, I do have two questions. One would be, what must one do to gain eternal life or salvation? And secondly, Art Bell opens up a Antichrist line every once in a while, and there's no shortage of callers in America.
Boy, that's the truth.
And the Bible seems to point out that there are many antichrists, little a, but one big A, large antichrist,
mm-hmm.
who seems to come from the area of Syria or the old Babylon Empire, since it says he will be the king of Babylon, and perhaps of a Jewish heritage, since he will be accepted, I guess, on the throne in Israel.
Well, you know, there are two antichrists. So it depends on which one you're asking about.
Yes.
There's one that's going to be in Rome. There's one that is called the false prophet.
Right.
Who rule in Israel.
You know, this caller is absolutely correct. I opened up something I call the Antichrist line because it's something that nobody else did. I kept getting these faxes saying the Antichrist is a lie. Antichrist is a lie. I said, fine, all right, fine. I'll open a line. Well, let me tell you, it rings off the hook.
You're a really courageous man.
It rings off the hook. I get letters. I get faxes. I've got this very impressive, scary email from somebody who claims to be the Antichrist.
Yeah.
And then a year went by almost, or not quite a year, and Jerry Falwell said, yep, he's alive. And I took that as a sign that I should open the Antichrist line again. I did it again. Again, all night long, nothing but people claiming to be the Antichrist. Now, that says something. I'm not sure what, but it says something.
It really does. If they were the Antichrist, they wouldn't be doing that.
Well, maybe.
He's not going to want to be known as that. And certainly he won't think of himself as that.
As that. But you say at some point he will, though.
I mean, well, as I wrote in my latest book, Planet Earth, the Final Chapter, I give a very elaborate description of this person and the parameters that prophecy puts on him. I mean, here's a man that's going to see himself as more than a man and the savior of the world, he's going to have a lot of altruistic values and things like that. I mean, he's not going to see himself as this great evil.
Hmm. So, you know, I said this in sort of a not such a serious way earlier, but I mean, really, it could be someone like yourself, couldn't it? It could be somebody. It could be me. It could be anybody who commands a great deal of attention, and there's going to be a deception. So how?
Well, there's one thing for sure. He's not going to come around pushing faith in Jesus Christ. He's going to see himself as this messianic figure.
Well, then that's more likely me. Wild Card Line, you're on the air with Hal Lindsey. Hello there.
Oh, thanks a lot.
Hello.
Hi, this is Denver from Coweta.
Denver?
Yes.
From where?
Coweta, Oklahoma.
All right. You're going to have to yell at us. You're not so loud.
Okay. Well, I have two questions, actually. And first, I want to say I've been listening to your show since October of last year, and I really love your show.
Thank you.
A friend of mine turned me on to it. It's great. Anyway, my first question is, are you familiar with the part of the Bible where it says, I must leave now and tend to other sheep that are not of this flock? And since Jesus was the Savior of this whole world, and there's billions and billions of stars out there, could it not mean that he went out to another world to go and preach to and save other beings that God has created? And my second question would pertain to the red horse of the apocalypse.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that could be red communism?
Could not mean what now?
Could be red, you know, communism, the reds. You know, the red horse was sent to take peace from the earth, and that's all they've done in their history.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's tackle both of them. Is that
okay?
All right, Mark? All right.
All right.
Okay, first, the passage you quoted rather loosely is from John chapter 10. And in this passage, Jesus is appealing to the nation of Israel. And he said he has been sent to them. And then he warns that he has other sheep that are not of that flock. What he is saying is that he's warning them, actually, that if they do not receive him, he's going to turn to the other sheep, which are Gentiles. So it's not talking about something other than what's on this planet.
All right. And communism.
And communism. The second horse of the four horsemen of the apocalypse in Revelation chapter 6, it is labeled very clearly that it is war. And it says that, read it here. When he opened the second seal, this is Revelation 6, verse 3, mm-hmm. I heard the second living creature saying, charge. And another horse, fiery red, went out, and it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth, that people should kill one another, and there was given to him a great sword. The word, by the way, that says it was given that people should kill one another, the Greek word means to slaughter. It means an utter slaughter. So this is when peace is taken from the earth. There's a pseudo peace that the Antichrist will bring on the earth for 3.5 years. And then war breaks out when Russia leads a Muslim confederacy against Israel. So that is, I believe, the red horse, and Russia is involved. But it specifically is talking about it's war and the power of war. The great sword is that there would be weapons of great destruction.
Well, they sure have that.
Yes.
All right. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Hal Lindsey. Good morning.
Good morning, Art. Good morning, Hal.
Hi.
Morning.
Pleasure.
Okay, you're a little hard to hear again, so yell at us.
Okay, is this better?
Yep, much.
All right. This question, this is a question that caused the pastor of my family's church not to marry my husband and I.
Wow.
Yeah.
Must be some question.
Well, my husband and I both believe that God created the earth and all of the inhabitants therein. But we also believe that evolution was also involved. And I guess what I want to know is, where do you stand on that issue?
I happen to agree with you, ma'am, for what it's worth. Hal, some of us believe that evolution is real. The science of it is hard to deny. However, why is it not possible for the hand of the Creator to be involved intricately in the process of evolution?
Well, it could have been, except that isn't what it says.
It isn't what it says, I know.
Right.
But
I by the way, I would perform your wedding, though I don't agree with you.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
That is not something that's one of the critical issues of the Word of God. I would just say, though, that my own faith, which is based on what it says, is that man was created directly.
Directly.
And that he is not the product of some evolutionary chain. And by the way, if you're going to appeal to science, then the science of DNA is heavily proving that man didn't evolve. In fact, it's making evolution smart a bit.
Well, but there were these two-legged human creatures that we can document reasonably well that have been walking the planet far longer than Christian teachings would suggest.
Yes, as well as the dinosaurs.
Well, I'm not one of those who thinks that the Earth is 6,000 years old or that man is 6,000 years old. But, you know, that comes from taking the genealogies and thinking there were no gaps in them. There are probably some, you know, it just shows a general chain of people. It doesn't mean that that's every person that was in the chain.
And, of course, evolution is far from perfect. There are gaps in it into which people like Zacharias Sitchin leap.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I'm sorry that it worked out that way for you. I take it you ended up with City Hall.
No, actually, we ended up with the Episcopal Church, my husband's family's church.
Well, at least
and
it
worked out fine. Mm-hmm. There was no problem with that with them.
Mm-hmm.
Everything worked out beautifully. We got married in a beautiful little church. Picture-perfect day. Couldn't have asked for better. I think it worked out for the best.
Well, I mean, how did this develop? I'm just curious. Did you just sort of get in the conversation with this pastor who was going to marry you, and this came up, and then he said, oh, I'm sorry, you'll have to go.
Because my husband was not of the same faith, my former pastor wanted to put him through counseling to bring him over to my family's faith.
Re-education.
Yeah, and we weren't real happy about that because we got along quite fine, you know.
Still?
And the subject actually just came up out of the blue one day.
Hal just asked, do you still get along fine?
Oh, yeah.
Good.
Very happily married after almost 2 years.
Okay. All right.
I'm sorry about your trouble.
Yep.
Oh, it's fine. Like I said, I believe that it worked out for the best.
All right. Thank you very much. We're so short on time. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Hal Lindsey, and I think you're the last one up. Hi.
Good morning, gentlemen. It's an honor to talk to both of you.
Thank you.
This is Dave from Cold and Windy, Idaho.
Yes, sir.
Well, first of all, Art, I want to say I was one of those kids that got kicked out of Sunday school, too, for asking too many questions.
You too.
Yeah. My philosophy is the more questions I ask, the more answers I get. The more answers I get, the more questions I ask.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way it goes. But, Hal,
yes.
I had a theory to kind of run by you here to see what you think about it. And it's kind of interesting that Art gets so many calls on his Antichrist line, because I had a theory about Antichrist being more of a way of thinking.
You sound a little like Ed Dames here.
Yeah, similar to that. Yeah, kind of a state of how a state of perspective, so to speak, and
well,
kind of leading up to.
You're half right.
Mm-hmm.
Because the prophecies speak of the spirit of Antichrist that's already here.
Right.
But there is a definite person because he's judged at the end.
Right. Correct. I believe it leads up to that, but there's got to be. Satan is the author of lies, the author of confusion.
Mm-hmm. And you're correct.
Mm-hmm.
You're correct that there is a spirit of Antichrist that's here.
You might just think of it this way: most things of which we conceive have come to pass.
Right, exactly.
That probably includes the concept of the Antichrist, too.
Right, and it all just kind of builds up to that.
Yes.
So everybody kind of sees that, so it's, it kind of fits into the illusion.
That's it. All right, sir. I'm afraid that was it. Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Take care. Hal, everybody should know where they can find your books on my website, on Amazon.com, in bookstores nationwide, and your latest book is?
Planet Earth, the final chapter, and Facing Millennial Midnight.
Hmm. Perfect.
Listen, I so enjoyed being with you, Art.
It really has been a pleasure.
It has been a pleasure. I hope we can do it again someday.
We certainly will. Hal, take care.
Take care, Art.
There you have it, folks. You asked for him. There he was, Hal Lindsey. Good interview, too. If you would like a copy of this interview, which saves me much response to email and stuff, you can get it by calling 1-800-917-4278. That's 1-800-917-4278. They're open 24 hours a day. Operator is sitting around waiting for your call. I presume they sit. Everybody else is standing by. They sit. 1-800-917-4278 from the high desert. Good night.